Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
All right, we're going to resume this series, Navigate. How to successfully journey through life in these times. Say, Father, thank you. You are helping me to successfully journey through life in these times. That's real to us, isn't it? I mean, COVID made a lot of things real to us. We have taken a lot for granted until COVID came along. Now we don't take too much for granted at all, and we appreciate life. We appreciate medical science. We appreciate wisdom. We appreciate one another so much more. And so Navigate has been our topic. Part 8 today is the power of together. Say the power, of together. We do life together. And God designed us to be together. The Bible talks about the body of Christ. We're members in particular. And so the hand can't say, you know, to the eye, I'm more important than you. The Bible says God has put every member of the body as it pleased him. And we're all interdependent, meaning that we're not only independent or only dependent, we are interdependent. And so there is power together. Say, Lord, thank you. There is power together. And that's going to be our topic on today. Let's review a bit. So navigation requires fixed points. We know this, coordinates. If you've ever used a compass as a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, you understand that a compass points north. And if you know where north is, you can find east and west and south. And so I'm suggesting that there are fixed coordinates in our lives. First of all, Jesus Christ. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's a fixed point. Also, God's Word, the Bible, the Scriptures are a fixed point. You can live your whole life on what God said. You know, people today are skeptical of the Bible. There's something called textual criticism, higher criticism, in which they try to, you know, say the Bible is not reliable and stuff. Well, hey, listen, tell you what, you're going to die. We're going to bury you. And the Bible will still be here. And the truth will still be here. Now, some of us have built our whole Christian life on the Scripture. So it's too late now to say it's not reliable. It is a fixed point. Third is objective truth and facts. And we've seen through this COVID season that people have to understand natural science is from God, and that to disregard the laws of nature and natural science and medical science is to disregard it at your own peril. Because this the vaccines, for example, all three of them are safe and effective. But people are still running in fear. And so that objective truth, then, is that which lies outside of you. We have our opinions. We have our feelings. We're entitled to that. You're entitled to your opinions. You are not entitled to your own facts. Facts exist outside of you. We don't care what you're talking about when facts are in play, right? And so that don't get confused. I thought about this. I posted this last week. You know, Photoshop is a tool that lets you manipulate images, the way things look. You can put things together. You can put like the sun, you know, in the night sky, you know, in Photoshop. And I thought about this. You know, sometime you see photoshopped things in life. That is, someone produced a fake, and they're showing you a fake. Well, don't act like the fake has changed reality. What somebody told you about COVID, whatever, don't let what somebody told you, like photoshopped image, become your reality. And listen, y'all, and don't go on a crusade against fake stuff. Don't waste your time. trying to shut down everything fake. What you want to do, you focus on truth. You focus on reality. Because contrary to popular opinion, the blind can lead the blind. You ask that question, no, you can't. Jesus said the blind can lead the blind, and they all end up in a ditch. So thank God there's ditch ministry going on. That's where you are right now. Some of y'all in a ditch. So, because you listen to you follow the blind. So listen, y'all, let's stay. Don't focus on the fake stuff. Focus on what's real. Focus on Jesus. And so let's navigate. And so this whole COVID thing's also shown us this, two things. People who have come through COVID season and didn't get COVID or got it and got healed and, you know, whatever, and, or got medicated and treated, thank God, and survived it. But those that haven't had COVID at all, especially, you know, you didn't get COVID because you were special. Because God loved you more than those who did get COVID. Didn't get COVID because you navigated well. You can, listen, COVID was always something you could avoid. I don't know, but listen, you can avoid it, okay? It's been avoided. Thing is, it's how you navigate. And those who were doing well let the guard down and got the virus sometimes. All I'm saying is, don't underestimate the power of navigation and wisdom and being consistent with it. Whatever you're doing, don't lapse. Don't let down. And if you do, thank God for mercy. All right, that's enough of that. Let's go on. Today I want to talk to you about the power of together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is our text. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, we're talking about the power of together. Let's look at this text again in verse 12. He says, though one may be overpowered by another. And that's true. One, a stronger person can overpower a weaker person. But two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, some of us remember Michael Jordan in his earlier in his career. I remember. He would score 50 points and the team would still lose. He was like, you know, balling, man, and they were still losing. Because one man can't beat a team. I don't care how good you are. It's no I in team. So one man, so Michael Jordan figured out, I got to get better players around me and give them the ball too. And so the point is the threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now look at this slide again. This is a rope. You know what this is. But you see a single rope, look closely, and you see a rope is a combination of many strands. The strands have strands. See what's going on there? Braided together. And it's these multiple strands that are braided together that make it stronger. And the idea is one cord may have some strength, two cords is stronger, but three cords is much stronger. And three cords twisted is multiple times stronger than a single cord. And it's the idea that there is power together. Say there is power together. And this is the essence of who we are as God's church, as God's community. We've all witnessed the power of together. In many ways, it's not that you can't do some things by yourself, because you have to do some things by yourself, but all the big things, you have to have help. You can't do big things by yourself. You do some good stuff by yourself. Even by yourself, think about it. Even though you're physically alone, you've got the prayers of others with you. You've got the education given to you by others, right? You're working with what others gave you. In that, you aren't alone. You've got the Holy Spirit with you. And so that there is power together. And so a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Two more scriptures, Proverbs 17:17. Love this text. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Well, we know this, don't we? You know, I've got like 1,600 Facebook friends. I got some friends who got 5,000 Facebook friends. You only got like 5 to 10 friends, real friends. I don't have 1,000 friends. Everybody uses that word friend. So you go to buy a car. Hey, friend, you're not my friend. You're trying to sell me something. You're using that to connect us. But you know that a true friend loves at all times. And there are folk you can call anytime. And there are folk you better not call anytime. You know who to call, not to call. Good time or bad times. But a friend loves at all times. So thank God for a friend. Friend is a covenant relationship. Now, there are acquaintances, people you know, and then there are friends. That's a different level, okay? And, for example, spouses should be friends. I say are, should be. My wife and I, we're best friends. I don't know about y'all, but we're best friends, okay? We act like it. We treat each other like we are friends. And a friend loves at all times. There's nothing we cannot discuss, I can't bring up. She can interrupt me at any time and ask me a question or ask me to do something, I'll do it. I mean, friends love at all times. That's the test. Say all times. Now, sometimes friendship may go one way for a while, one direction, that you're the one loving at all times. Because once you've made a friend, if it's real, you don't ever back away from it. So even when your friend is neglectful and dropping the ball, you know, you still step up because you said you were friends. Now, if you find out somebody is somebody else, you know, it's a different story. But a person may struggle, they may lose their mind in certain ways, but you're still their friend. So be there. Say, be there.
Be there.
John 13:34 says this. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. So Jesus here gave the standard. He said, love each other as or like or in the manner in which I have loved you. Wow, that's something. He didn't say, love folk the way you think you want to, or love them according to what they want. Love them, he says, as I have loved you. And so when you look at that text in this light, it really helps us that, you know, I've got to change my perspective of what love is. Because I've got my idea, my subjective point of view, right? What's in me, my opinion. But then there's the objective love is, what did Jesus show you? How has he treated you? All right, today I want to talk about the power together in four ways. I'm going to do two of these today, and then the other two next week, Lord willing. The power of together, and I'm going to give you that there are four ways in which we experience this power together, what it does for us, how we experience it. It helps us become better, say better,
better.
Bigger.
Braver.
Bolder. All right, we're going to look at these today because I want you to understand how powerful this text is from Ecclesiastes, how strong the principle is, and how much better we are together, how much bigger we are, how much braver we are, how much bolder we are when we experience the power of together. Now, it's difficult to navigate alone. In some situations, it's impossible to navigate all by yourself. Part of God's design for humans is to function in a family or a community. Now, after God created Adam, he said this. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. And he spoke about male-female relationship not only for for multiplying, you know, the human race. But it's the idea that there's a principle that's still true for us today, that we were not designed to be alone. So it's not just marriage, reproduction, it's relationship, it's friendship, that we were created to exist with others, do life with others, not do life alone. Even God himself, God wanted relationship. So God said, we'll make man in our image, in our likeness, imago Dei. So God wanted creatures he was compatible with, because animals wouldn't do it. Plants and birds and all that wouldn't suffice. So God created man and woman in his image and likeness. And they had a relationship and a fellowship in the garden until disobedience broke it apart. So even God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Even God is three in one Trinity. And so there are many benefits of the power of together. I want to talk to you about, again, the power together with these four words, better, bigger, braver, and bolder. First of all, the word better. Say better.
Better.
All right, the text said, verse 9 of chapter 4, Ecclesiastes, says, two are better than one. Say it back. Two are better than one. And the simple point here is, you can do more with others than you can by yourself. You believe that? It is true. We've seen it over and over again. You can do a lot, but with others, you can do a whole lot more. Now, you can do more with others than you can by yourself. Now, it depends on who you're working with. Not just any others. We've all had experience working with somebody not committed to working. Haven't you? On a job, in a class, you got somebody in there who you're working with, quote unquote, but they're not working. And so it hinders the whole process, doesn't it? And so that phrase there, you can do more with others, but you know, who are the others you're talking about here? It does matter. It's not that you can't, again, do things by yourself. It is that you can do better in terms of quality and quantity with others. So with others, you can do more of it. I mean, just physically more. But also the quality is higher when you work with others. You know how it is, sometimes we have our own standards and we think we're doing okay. But get with somebody who's really expert and you'll find out, I can do better. I remember, this is a funny story, in 1989, way back in the day, we were at a convention with Dr. Johnson, organization, and I was a conference speaker, workshop speaker in a conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And so we, you know, it was a big event, and I was one of the speakers in the workshop. And so I was in the foyer. If you were a speaker, have a book table, have your books and your tapes. You don't know about them tapes, do you? But have your tapes and your books and your displays. So my table was nice. I had my book on Divine Destiny out then, had my tapes. It looked great. Across the way from me was Bishop, then Pastor Thomas Jakes. His table was all jacked up. T.D. Jakes. Table looked like it was folded. He's in West Virginia back then with the Jerry Curl and the white suit and all that kind of stuff. He wasn't together then. Now listen, when he preached, it was the same man. But his materials were really shabby. And so a friend of his and mine, Bishop, said, I mean, in our presence, he said, man, I got to come up. Thomas Jake said, in our presence, I got to come up. Later, we were with him in another event. Myself, mutual friend, Bishop Jake's in the meeting. And we said, yeah, man, you came up. Oh, yeah, you came way, all the way. You know, he's been going up ever since then, right? So the point is, he couldn't do it by himself. He once pastored a church of 50 people. His brother came from all the way down to up by the grace of God. And so it encourages me to remind us, you can't do things alone. He probably did it, he and his wife probably photocopied that stuff, all that by themselves. So Two are better than one, but it matters who you're working with. Makes a big difference. We watch these films. I like watching good movies, and you have the star or two or three stars in the film, and the film goes 2 hours, whatever. At the end of the film, you have what's called end credits. You got screen after screen of names rolling up. I mean, sometimes look like hundreds of names in all locations where they filmed. And those were all the people who made the film happen. What we talk about is the stars. You see what Tom Cruise did and Denzel did. They were great. They were great, but not by themselves, especially for a film. And so understand that two are better than one. And really good films are a combination of a lot of good people, a lot of really good people working together on it. And so that, again, that text is so true in every area of life. So the point is, don't just think of finding someone to work with you. Think about someone whom you can empower. Because the people you empower become the best helpers. Just try to find somebody to help you and not being clear about what they can do and what they bring and their heart and passion for work. That won't help you always. You know that. So if you have somebody who has the core capabilities, you can develop that. Remember, I heard a quote by Bill Gates a long time ago, in which his philosophy with hiring people was this: I just hire the smartest people, because they can learn anything. They'll figure anything out. So he would hire people smart, of course, in the area in which they were hiring. He didn't care about how long the resume was. Let me see your college grades. Let me see examples of your work, things you've done. Let me just see what you've done. Because if you're a smart person and hardworking person, you'll fit here. We'll find a place for you. And so the point is well taken there, that when you're looking for somebody to work with you, find a person you can empower, who will pay attention, who values you. You know, some people don't value you at all. They just pretend to value you. You know what I'm saying? But there are people who do value what you do. So get a sense and a radar for who has value in you, because you can't fool people who don't even value you. Not because you need the ego stroke. You don't have time for folk distracted by issues they got with you and stuff. Don't fool with them. Just love them. Find a place for them, but nowhere close to you. Amen. I mean, you're trying to get something done, I'm talking about, okay? And you can't fix people either. We all try to fix people. Some of y'all date people. You're trying to fix them after you date them. I'll leave that alone. I'll just say this. It never works. It doesn't work. It don't work. I give you every language, okay? But the point is, when you do this, when you empower people, it'll make you both become better. So it isn't that you find the strongest person. No, you find the most willing person. Because together, you both become stronger. That you're stronger by helping somebody. They're stronger by receiving help and then helping you. That's good, isn't it? My wife, you know, has another student teacher, and she had one last term, and another student teacher, and she's had several. And so I thought to myself, boy, they've got it made, you know. Help me understand, and they do, that you're working with Patricia A. Hudson, a master teacher, educator, and it don't get no better than this, so pay attention, you know. One time my wife sent somebody an email that she didn't read it. Pat be like, if I send you something, you need to read it. No excuses. Say no excuses. If you're wanting to empower people, they must be willing. And if they're willing, they'll find amazing levels of empowerment. And you'll be helped as well in the process. As always, it's always that threefold cord isn't. See, once the cords are bound together, we don't say that's the strong cord, that's the weak cord. No, they're all together now. Follow me? Once they're together, the strong and the weak are strong. Because now we're combined together. As long as we're willing to be together, we're going to become stronger. You believe that? I want to show you a video in a moment here on the side screens. Wife and I had a vacation recently and went to Florida. I tell you that. Walking around. I got my camera. Well, my phone is my camera. I tell folk, I have a lot of cameras, you know that. But I tell people, what is the best camera? The one you got with you? That's the best camera. Well, I saw this guy fishing. A lot of people fish, you know, I see it all the time. But this guy, he had kind of a smaller rod, and the rod was bent over. He had hooked a big fish, okay? Maybe more than he bargained for. And I realized that this guy, he's in a bit of trouble here with this fish. So watch what happens. Watch the video. That guy would have not gotten that fish by himself. No way. And there's so many little lessons in there. Many lessons. One lesson for me is like, fish can just go on right his way. Go on, fish. You can do your thing. I'll fish someplace else, okay? But once he was hooked, you know, a fisherman has a certain level of pride, you know. I don't care if I got the wrong rig. I'm going to bring this fish in. And so the guy said was, let me help you. And there were several fishermen out there. And he came over, of course, to help, and the fish broke the line. You saw what happened from there. But I like this thought here that sometimes you're there, you're the one struggling. And sometimes God just sends somebody to help you. And don't be like, I got it. You obviously don't got it. Clearly don't have it. Or better yet, call for somebody. When you're in a tight spot like that. Now, along the end of the story was this. The fish actually was too big to keep. It had to be under, 30 inches? Yeah, so you cannot keep a fish that's too small or too big for some reason. Did all that work, had to throw him back. Had to throw him back in there. So I like that story. I'm going to move on from that now, but that's such a beautiful story. So, again, that's better. Next key word here is bigger. Say bigger. Now, I close the last point by saying, do you see how you can become better when someone is helping you, when someone is with you, when someone comes to help, or you call for help, you become better. Next key word is bigger. Fourth chapter, Ecclesiastes, verse 9 says, and they have a good reward for their labor. New Living says, for they can help each other succeed. Love that. We usually think of bigger as large size or quantity or more, but you should think of better, and you should think of bigger, I should say, as higher quality. Say higher quality. Yeah, think of bigger as higher quality. You know, these all roll together here, better and bigger roll together. Now, think about this. Those of us who drove cars in the 1970s, you know about big cars. When they say big car today, that ain't big. Next slide. Now, here is a big car. That's my word, a land yacht. That's a 1970 Buick Electra 225. Or we call it a deuce and a quarter. Deuce for two, quarter for 25. You may have seen one if you're younger, but if you are our age, you drove in one. You've been in one. What's funny about those cars, though, the interior space, it wasn't all that really fantastic. The thing was the trunk and the hood. Here's the point, though, I'm making to you. So we think that bigger is better. But these big old cars, these land yachts, they've been called a land yacht, they were so long, you could get lost in the trunk. Now, I told you my story before that I rented a town car in California many years ago, had some golf clubs, and some golf balls got loose in the trunk. I had to climb in the trunk, my whole self in the trunk, to get to the back to retrieve the golf balls. That's how big the trunk was, okay? So my point is, yeah, we think that bigger, you know, is better. And we were in high school. I remember a father of my friend had a deuce and a quarter, and he borrowed his car to go to the drive-in. Us and some guys, some friends of ours, all guys. Well, three guys got in the trunk. They got in the trunk, and we sat in the front. The rest of us, we drove in, paid for two people, and went to the drive-in, we parked, and they all got out the trunk. There's five of us. I wasn't saved back then. I wasn't even close to being saved. It was years away, okay? I wasn't even convicted about being saved, okay? I had no consciousness of being saved. Just don't want to stipulate that. So we look back at fondness at these cars, nostalgia. Oh, yeah, deuce and the quarter, all this kind of stuff. But compared to cars today, honestly, these cars were a waste of time and space. They handled poorly because, you know, they didn't have much power. That big old car, now, you know, some cars were muscle cars. This car maybe had 150 horsepower. I mean, it wasn't uncommon for a V8 to have low horsepower back then. Some cars had more, way more. Here's the point, though, that we look back fondly at this old stuff, and this was bigger. But the quality wasn't the same. And they were smooth. Oh, they were smooth, man. Just don't turn. Just keep going straight. Don't make a sudden turn, drive in bad weather, or have to stop suddenly. You realize that, again, it's hard for us to imagine. I remember how, I mean, in hindsight, I mean, disconnect your nostalgic mind, your romanticism, disconnect all that. It was a big old hump of junk, big old heap of junk compared to these cars, these better cars today. So people often, listen, y'all, we often look for things that are big and shiny, even to this day, rather than recognizing quality, which may come in a small package. Don't be drawn to big and shiny. Sometimes the greatest thing is sometimes a smaller thing. And that the Bible says again, it says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. So when we fall, actually, not if, when we fall, and we all fall, you just can't pick yourself up if there is something lacking inside of you that made you fall. So thinking, I got it, I'm all that, I'm big, I'm great, yeah, and then you fail with your big, great self. Huh? Look how big you are when you fall. You need somebody to help you up. So that, again, think about bigger not as in more, but think of it as in better quality, higher quality. He says, so if he falls, he has no one to pick him up. So you don't want to go around, listen, y'all, don't go around dissing people and burning bridges. Because here's the reason why. Because take care of people while you're going up, because you're going to need them when you go down. Take care of people while you're on your way up, because you'll need people on your way down. We all have decline at some level in our lives, amen? So you take care of people so that you can work that reciprocity principle and you'll reap what you have sown, because you don't want to be alone when you fall, and you're going to fall. Amen? Somebody, it's a sobering word, but it's true, isn't it? Now, the best way to become bigger, okay, is to connect with big people. That is, you know, people who know more than you, people who are more skilled than you, people who are willing to help you. That's a big person. Somebody who knows a lot, does a lot, and willing to help. That's a big person. A small person is somebody who may have a lot, do a lot, but won't share anything. That's a small person with a lot of stuff. But a truly big person has the knowledge, has the skills, and willing to help. Now, I'm not talking about a big-headed person. You know, big-headed is something else. You know that. But people who genuinely know things and will demonstrate all the time what they know. See, a person who's big is always doing good stuff. Always. Whether you see it or don't see it. And so you can, if you look for it, you'll see it. But some people just front. You know what front means, right? They front, you know. And nowadays, I remember I was looking for something yesterday, looking for a device called a mobile hotspot. I'm out in the field working. I need to have, you know, enough internet to upload big files, and my phone will do a hotspot, but it's not fast, and data plan gets used up. So I went to AT&T store and talked to a young man, very nice young man. I said, I want a mobile hotspot. He said, well, we have two over here. I said, great. What's the price? He said, well, this one's $150. I said, this one's, well, let's talk about that one then, $150. And so I said, is it 5G? He said, they're all 5G, he said. They're all 5G. So my first flag went up. I said, well, we'll see. So I said, show me that one. So he brought out a box with a different thing in it. What he brought out wasn't the one he showed me. He brought out something that wasn't even like what he showed me. It was like half the size. I said, I thought you were going to show me this one. Oh, yeah, well, we had this one. Okay. What's this cost? This is $179. Well, the big one was $150. Listen, wait, anyway. Is it 5G? Yes, they're all 5G. I got my phone out, Googled. It says here, it's 4G LTE. Did you know this? Oh, I said, man, I said, how long you been here? He said, I just started. I said, well, man, talk to somebody else. How about him? He just started too. So y'all willing just to play me, right? You don't know what you're talking about. As if every customer coming in doesn't know something, when they walk. So long and short of, I called Charles Brown. Now, he has his own store in Shelbyville, Indiana. I don't want to go to Shelbyville, but went to Shelbyville. Sometimes it's worth a trip to find somebody who knows something. And the guy, their solution was, watch this now, I didn't need a mobile hotspot at all. What he did, listen, watch this. He put something called an eSIM in my phone. My phone has two SIM cards, the physical and what's called the eSIM, electronic SIM card, and both have 40 gigabytes of hotspot bandwidth. Now, that sounds kind of heavy to you maybe, but it's like, that's all I needed. Because if I use up 40, I just switch over to the other one in the same device. One phone versus having to carry a separate device. All I'm saying is, bigger isn't more. Bigger is higher quality. Say bigger is higher quality. Because folk will try to give you more. Come on. They'll load you up. You need this. You need that. You need this. You need that. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, I'm almost done, y'all. We got 2 points today. See, I told you. That's why I only had two for today. I knew it. This would happen. But please get the picture in your mind. Understand that we become bigger dealing with bigger people. And Charles Brown was a bigger person when it came to cell phones and internet connectivity, mobile stuff. He was way bigger than the two young men who just started yesterday. And I walked in and caught them. They missed training and everything. How can you talk to customers and make up stuff? But that's the world in which we live, isn't it? Especially now. All right, back to the slide. So again, talking about being bigger. So again, it said there, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. New Living says, for they can help each other succeed. Here's the point. The worst thing you can do is not pay attention and fail to follow instructions. In terms of being helped, okay? The worst thing you can do is not pay attention and not follow instructions. All right. So I want to stop right here. And I pray that this has helped us to navigate. And listen, one last point. When you're dealing with bigger people, okay, so to speak, don't make the mistake of feeling intimidated. Don't avoid somebody who does things well because you think it makes you smaller. No, it makes you better. Expands your mind, expands your heart. And don't try to cut folk down to your size. Because people see that coming a mile away, smell a rat, you know what I'm saying? Don't try to bring somebody down who's doing something well. Like, no, they won't tolerate that. They just leave you where they found you. But what you want to do is just appreciate the opportunity to learn something. You know, all of us in our profession, Elder Owens, you know, with IPL, I know he's had opportunity to help these young men coming into the profession. I mean, dealing with electricity, I can't imagine what they're dealing with. I mean, they're dealing with stuff that you know, it could kill you in less than a half a second. You just, boom, you're gone, you know. So you got to show people how to work these things, and they got to pay attention. Right. I mean, paying attention, sometimes you can slide by. But some things in life, you won't even survive. I mean, you won't survive literally without paying attention. So don't make the mistake of pulling back from somebody who can help you because you think they know so much. Don't worry about that. Just get in where you can fit in and learn something. Let's all stand. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for giving us insight today. Thank you for the truth that two are better than one. And Lord, thank you that we together, we are a representation of that power of together here at this local church and our friends and friendships and family, Lord. We represent that threefold cord in which Jesus, the Spirit of God, Father God, are parts, are cords in the rope that comprise our lives. Lord, thank you. We have that encouragement, that reality is not just a feeling, Lord, it's truth that we're living.